Episode 159.
The supply of quality technicians is not nearly where the demand is now and is going to be in the next few years. You've got a lot of factors involved there. In 2008, we lost a lot of older techs and better techs to other industries when dealerships closed and repair shops closed. A lot of them went to the airline industry or the trucking industry or different things, and they're not coming back.
Welcome, aftermarketers, to Remarkable Results Radio. Listen to learn just one thing from today's episode on your journey to remarkable results. Hello, aftermarketers. Welcome to episode 159. Carm Capriotto here with Jason Mollo from Advanced Automotive Performance. And how are you today? The automotive aftermarket comes here, you know, to get their uptake on trends, ideas, insights, and affirmations, and I'm so glad to have you on board. Now, if you're listening on your smartphone, then you've subscribed to either iTunes, Google Play Music, Stitcher, or Spreaker. You can also listen from your desktop. So however you're engaged, thanks for being a loyal listener. I'm working real hard to bring you exceptional content where you can listen to learn just one thing with each episode. I'm happy to have the podcast sponsored by Federal Mogul Motor Parts. Search for parts, get the latest technical updates, and don't forget to sign up for their all-new Garage Rewards loyalty program at their all-new website, fmmotorparts.com. Hey, a quick reminder to catch my Facebook Live weekly update show on my Facebook page, 2 p.m. every Friday Eastern Time. And if you've missed it, you can review every show on my website. Just go to remarkableresults.biz and click on the Facebook Live tab. Now, my guest Jason Mollo has a great story to tell about how he became an entrepreneur. He and his brother Luke were both working at two different family dealerships, and they got the urge to go out on their own. Jason wrote a business plan for Luke and realized it would only work if they combined their talents. And the rest is history. Jason is a forward, out-of-the-box thinker and doer. He shares his commitment to lifelong learning and how he actually does it. He tells a very important customer service story that is happening more and more in business today, and he talks exit scheduling, DVI, social media, and customer relationships. He has a fix to the technician shortage issue in getting youth to join our industry, and it involves an improved perception of our industry. On top of all of that, he gives you his view of the next 5 years and who he feels will make the cut. Now, here we go with Jason Mollo from Advanced Automotive Performance. Enjoy. A warm welcome to Jason Mollo from Advanced Automotive Performance in Uxbridge, Massachusetts. Did I say that right?
Uxbridge.
It's very nice. Hey, Jason, are you ready to share your remarkable results?
Yes, I am.
How'd you get started in this great industry of ours?
So I was actually brought up with family that owned a couple car dealerships. And so I started working for them when I was 12 years old, detailing cars. And I worked up the ranks in that business and ran the rental business that they had, got into the sales and finance end of the business, and ended at that dealership as the marketing manager.
Like all good people that, like you, said, hey, I can open my own business, right?
Correct.
Got it.
And I was plateaued at the dealership. My brother Luke was a technician working for another family member's business, and he came to me and said, I'm ready to open my own shop. Can you help me with a business plan? And so I started off just by helping him. As we're walking through the planning process, it became clear that he wasn't going to be able to build a sustainable business by himself and with his wife's help out in the front. So I had been trying to become the general manager at the dealership I worked at, and I was told that that position wasn't available. My uncle was still filling that position, and he said, if you think you can do a better job, then go open your own place.
You wrote this business plan for your brother. Did you realize he was going to have some struggles, but did you also see that you could fit into it somehow?
Yes. Throughout the process, it took us about 100 hours, and we were doing it, you know, a few hours here and there while we were both working full-time at our jobs. So over the course of a couple months, we ran all the numbers as part of the process, and we saw that it was going to take more than a one-person operation to be able to cover the expenses and actually make a profit and that type of thing. So we started talking and decided to do it together.
So he went in the bays and you went on the counter.
That's correct. Yep.
Wow. Now, think back to that business plan. How many years you've been in business?
10. As actually, October 1st is our 10th anniversary.
Congratulations to you, by the way. Excellent. Now, how much of the business plan still holds true?
Well, 10 years into it, we're still trying to implement some of the things that we thought of 10 years ago, and it's been a little bit slow.
Well, the right answer is, Carm, every 2-3 years, we update our strategic plan.
Yeah, we do it actually more on a monthly basis.
You got 10 people in the business, I think you told me?
Correct.
That's great. Wow, what a great business in a real rural part of Massachusetts?
Yes. The towns around here have approximately 10,000 people.
Your biggest strength as an entrepreneur?
Being able to think outside the box.
Excellent.
A lot of times we'll look at problems that we have either in our own business or in the industry that we're in, and I look outside of our industry to other industries and try to steal ideas.
I have to tell our audience that when I did my pre-call with Jason, we were on for about an hour, and I was so incredibly impressed with your out-of-the-box thinking. I'm not sure we can get to all of your out-there concepts. They're not out there, actually. I think they're very real. But I want to share with you something about outside the box. And I can't remember where I heard this from, but it was another concept that I heard about. It was called break the box.
Yep.
You can be on the outside of the box leaning on it, and you may feel very comfortable, but it may not necessarily, if you're touching and holding the box, get you where you want to be. So break it.
Yep. No limits.
Yeah, exactly. I think about that a lot. Anything holding you back right now?
Probably just having the confidence to take some of the bigger steps with some of the things we talked about in the pre-interview. I've got bigger ideas than I've been able to grow my skill set to, I guess.
Okay, what are you doing about that? You doing any taking training? What are you doing?
So you say be a lifelong learner, and that's a philosophy I've had forever. I love Audible, audible.com, the Audible app. I constantly am listening to audiobooks and podcasts such as yours and trying to educate myself, use the time in the car as my auto university and basically grow my skill set and my knowledge from there and implement it in our business.
We may have to have you do a commercial. Yeah. A raving fan of mine, everyone. Meet Jason Mollo, a raving, raving fan. Tell me your best customer service story.
I had one recently that was extremely good. One of the things that we've been trying to overcome with our customers is the fact that most people have such hectic, crazy lives. Everything's moving so fast. They don't want to take the time to understand the value in maintenance and proper care of their vehicle. And recently, I had a customer that we haven't seen in over 5 years. They had previously been an awesome customer. They bought two brand new cars, one for the husband and one for the wife. And 5 years later, they were done with their dealership service. They remembered us. They came back. And the wife said to me, when I asked her, how come she hadn't been back? She said, well, we've been lucky. We haven't had anything wrong with the vehicle. And I said, well, when you say you've been lucky, what do you mean by that? She said, well, we haven't had to do anything to it. I said, well, what kind of maintenance have you been doing to the vehicle? And she says, well, just the oil changes, basically. And so that opened the dialogue for talking about maintenance. And turns out that they own a 2010 Honda Odyssey. Very nice vehicle. We did a courtesy vehicle health inspection for them when the car came in. And after we got talking, she had told me that they were thinking about trading it in because it was at 100,000 miles. And I said, well, why would you do that? She said, well, it's going to start costing us some money. So it allowed me to have a conversation with her about the value of maintenance. And she ended up doing all of the services that were due on the Honda Odyssey at the 100,000 miles and thanking me for helping her understand how much money they were throwing away by trading their vehicles in more frequently than necessary. And that after the service was done, they made an appointment for the next service. That's a big thing that we're working on, is exit scheduling all of our customers. And she also scheduled an appointment for her husband's vehicle. Great experience.
Interesting. If you're a loyal listener to the podcast, then you know some of the stuff, the dialogue that's been going on lately, sitting down with customers and saying, well, how many miles do you want to keep your car? 250,000 miles. Well, we need to plan to make that happen. So here you have, what a great opportunity with a 100,000-mile car, and say, oh, by the way, do you know Pete Rudloff?
I don't.
Pete's been on the podcast. Go back and listen to his episode and read about Pete. He's all over. He writes for Auto Inc. magazine. And Pete has this great formula and great presentation on the cost of ownership of a car. And it's absolutely laid right into all that you were talking about.
To check it out.
I'm talking to Bud Houston, a technical product specialist with Federal Mogul Motor Parts. Hey, Bud, what's the best thing about the Guru on the Go van?
Yeah, I think that the best thing about the van and the kind of the mission is it's twofold. One is ultimately to bring brand awareness of the Federal Mogul portfolio. But I think the way that we do that is we bring value to the technician, the shop owner. And how we do that is we bring technical content, we bring some updated material, and once they see that I care about their operation, their reputation, and their qualifications, one, they're built up, but two, they really, at that point, listen to what I have to say about the brands, and it's built, the relationship is built on a mutual benefit.
So you bring technical stuff, and you bring product-specific.
Yeah, me personally, I'm super technical background. So anytime I'm doing a lunch and learn or a van visit, training session, it's typically 90% technical, 10% product.
Any new Moog products that are getting good reviews?
Yeah, one that's recently released is the Dodge Ram 25 and 3500 complete steering assembly. It's inner and outer tie rod ends and drag link pre-assembled. This is the first aftermarket part that's available in a complete assembly for this application. And then the specific applications, late model Dodge Rams, are actually a kind of a high failure part on the chassis parts.
What about the compression-loaded ball joints with pre-installed integral dust boot?
Yeah, the integral dust boot has been a huge hit. Initially, the idea was well, where is the boot? And then once you kind of get around and show people, they're like, well, that is the best idea I've ever seen, because I've torn so many boots on installation, or I've had a boot that's not seated properly. And they're like, well, that's just not an issue now. And they love it.
Federal Mogul Motor Parts' Garage Gurus is your go-to source for the vehicle training, technology, and answers you need to keep your next job on track. On site, online, or on demand, the Gurus are here to help keep your business and your career on the road to success. Visit fmgarageguru.com. Has the shop been doing digital vehicle inspections at all?
Yes. We started that about a year and a half, maybe 2 years ago. We signed on with Auto Vitals when they first came out, and we've been with them since the beginning. We were actually a beta test shop for them, and we've continued with it, and the results are phenomenal. The fact that the customer can actually see what you're talking about, similar to the old days when the customer used to actually be in the shop and you could bring them out and show them what you're talking about on the vehicle. Now they can see it in a digital picture, and even if they know nothing about vehicles, it's obvious if something's broken, if something's severely rusted or rotted, and they see the condition and they say, oh my God, fix it right away. Whereas before, trying to paint a picture with words over the phone, there's a trust factor that you have to overcome. The pictures take care of that immediately.
How hard are you working Facebook, Twitter, YouTube?
Facebook, pretty aggressive. Haven't gotten into Twitter as much as I should. And same thing with YouTube. Facebook is kind of unique in, since we're in a rural area. I don't know if this is the same across the country, but each one of the towns in our local area has a, somebody has started a Facebook page for the town, and all of the local residents that want to find out what's going on in town go on there. They post things. All the small businesses post things on there. The schools do different things like that. So it's very common when I monitor that feed that I'll come across a post that says, where should I go for good auto service? And, you know, a lot of times it's more specific for brakes or for whatever it happens to be. And it's interesting to me that even with all of the different review sites that are out there, Google and all the other ones that you can go to, Yelp, the local people are still asking local people for recommendations. And they're doing it online. So it's kind of like the old school face-to-face, word-of-mouth kind of thing. But even though there's reviews all over the internet and they can just type into Google auto repair near me or whatever search combination they want, they're still asking their fellow local residents.
So do you think you're the pickle barrel, the general store of yesteryear as auto repair in your town?
We're definitely working towards that, yes. I find a lot of the opportunities through those Facebook pages, and I'll see the posts come on there, and I'll usually one or more of our customers will be on the page as well, and they'll say, oh, go to Advance Auto, and I'll just write a quick note on there that says, thanks for the shout out, and I'll tag the person that mentioned us, and then I'll address the person who asked the question, and I'll say something along the lines of, we'd love to meet you. If you'd like to check us out, you can go to our website here, or just give us a call and put the phone number. And that's been very successful.
We released an episode recently with Greg Buckley and Frank Lloyds, and it was all about social media strategy. And Frank talked a lot about being involved in his Chamber of Commerce and actually doing some Facebook Live stuff on their site to reach out to the local businesses and says, hey, I'm Frank. I'm one of your members. I fix cars just down the road. Here's what's going on at my place. Great, great, great concept. And kudos to the chambers that are allowing their Facebook page to be presented live by their members.
Yeah, definitely.
Think that through. That's a cool one. So telematics, data, driverless cars, autonomous cars, right? Hydrogen vehicles. Who owns the data? You got to be thinking about that.
Oh, yeah. Yep. I do follow both our industry and outside factors quite frequently. And that's definitely something that seems like is still up in the air. Nobody seems to know exactly where things are going to fall over the next few years, but they're going to change. And
what do you believe?
Well, I guess what I'm trying to do is position ourselves so that no matter which way it goes, we're in a good position. And what I mean by that is a strong suit for us has been to always focus on the relationship between our business, ourselves, and our customers. And I've worked with our employees to help them look at things a little bit differently than you typically would from a shop perspective. And I've worked with them to help them understand that the relationship is the important thing. And there's been lots of historical incidents where an industry gets interrupted by some outside force, like the self-driving cars, like ride sharing, and all these different things that are affecting our industry. And the companies who were prepared and realized what they were in business for, they found other ways of performing services or providing services to their clients, and they stayed in business. The railroads is a big example of that. I forget the railroad company, but it was like Southwest Pacific or something like that, that went out of business because they weren't paying attention. And then one of the other railroad companies said, hey, what are we? We're a transportation company, not a railroad company. And just by generalizing that, they were able to continue to provide transportation for their clients. And I think that's, I forgot what airline started off of that, but one of the airlines started because of a failing railroad company.
I worked for a guy that I truly respected. And one of his greatest words of wisdom to almost all the people that worked for him was pay attention. Don't forget, he'd say, pay attention to everything.
Exactly.
And it was a great reminder for me. Thank you. So give me an industry problem that exists out there and give me a solution.
So one of the big industry problems that you've had guests on your show talking about quite frequently is the fact that the supply of quality technicians is not nearly where the demand is now and is going to be in the next few years.
Right.
You've got a lot of factors involved there. In 2008, we lost a lot of older techs and better techs to other industries when dealerships closed and repair shops closed. A lot of them went to the airline industry or the trucking industry or different things, and they're not coming back. You've also got a lot of baby boom generation, the older technicians that are retiring, they're closing shop, they're moving on. And we have very few younger people interested in the industry. So one of the concepts that I have for getting more qualified technicians from the younger generations coming into the industry is, number one, there's a poor public perception of our industry. And in a lot of ways, it's justified. But a lot of the guidance counselors are not recommending automotive as a good profession. Parents are also not recommending automotive. So generating interest in our industry is a key factor. I see the fastest, easiest, best solution to that problem as using television. And I think that if it's done properly and there's a reality TV show, for example, something similar to what you see with the food networks, Hell's Kitchen with Gordon Ramsay is a great example. The food industry has seen an enormous spike in the interest and the level of interest that people have as far as people considering themselves foodies and cooking extravagant dishes and things like that at their homes, watching the shows and getting involved in the competitions. And, you know, there's tens of thousands of people that line up to be in those competitions. So I think something similar to that would work extremely well in our industry to raise awareness for things that people just don't know about our industry. And the fact that there's a lot more technology and computers in the vehicles. In the future, you know, we're going to have at least one technician, if not more, sitting there with a laptop and working on the cars.
So what you're saying is, in a reality show, the level of complexity that it takes to do the proper diagnostics, the level of customer service it takes to really embrace a customer and do that bedside manner explaining to them could all come out, if you will, on camera, on TV, and let people scratch their head and said, my God, I had no idea.
Exactly.
So you're saying that to share that level of complexity, the level of education that it takes to do what our industry does would be an eye-opener and an opportunity to change the attitudes of the consumer.
Exactly. And it would do multiple things. It would help with the customers understanding our industry so that the transactions with them are a whole lot easier and smoother. They would understand why we should be charging a lot more than we are currently charging, and they would be willing to pay for it because they would understand it. It would also generate interest from the parents' perspective to encourage their children to want to become automotive employees. And it would also encourage the younger generation to take an interest in our industry. You know, when you relate it to the food networks, you see they've got the kids cooking competitions on there now too. So getting interest in our industry from the perspective of future employees and also educating our customers. I think it would do multiple things at once.
I think it's a great idea with probably an extremely good outcome. Next 3 to 5 years, where do you see the industry heading?
That's going to be a very critical point for us. I've done a lot of research. I've paid a lot of attention to things that are going on, and there's surveys out there that say 40 to 50% of shop owners have said that they plan on exiting our industry before 2020. That's 3.5 years away. So 3 to 5 years, I feel that a lot of the smaller shops that aren't keeping up with technology as far as the shop tooling and training are going to close their doors. Either
you don't think there's any room for consolidation, and so you're saying that the ones that haven't kept up aren't a viable acquisition target. They just won't have the kind of business anyone's interested in buying?
Well, not necessarily that no one would be interested in buying, but they're not going to be running them.
Okay.
So,
all right.
Depending on the market, it may be viable for someone to purchase it, but it's going to be at a very low dollar amount. You know, if the shop's not up to speed, then it doesn't have the value.
What you're saying is that the dream of the retirement money isn't going to be there.
That's correct.
Got it.
So there's going to be a much smaller playing field as far as competition. And I think it's going to come down to the dealerships, large chains, and a handful of top shops.
And the top shops, the top shops, the independents, are they going to be multi-store operations?
I think there'll probably be some single store, but yeah, I think a lot of them probably will go that route. There's a lot of opportunity there for people that are staying current with the technology. If you think about it, if 40 or 50% of the shops in the country disappear, then the supply demand is actually going to flip. So the customers are going to be waiting in lines for our business, for us to do repairs and maintenance on their cars versus now we're chasing them.
Got it. Looking back, what are you the most proud of?
Not giving up. That's been a challenge. You know, there's been a lot of times over the past 10 years where I've looked myself in the mirror and just said, why am I doing this? You know, I look at other industries and the low barrier of entry, the low, you know, requirements for time commitments and expenses and all that type of stuff. And I think I'm crazy for staying in the automotive industry. And the reason I'm proud of staying in it is I think that the next, you know, 3 to 5 years especially, there's going to be a lot of opportunity that I think we've been preparing our business and our team for and our customers for. And I think that it's going to actually be well worth sticking with it.
I want to ask you if you'd come back and share your concept, because I thought what you did is you brought up something great about where the next 3 to 5 years are going to be. Talk mm-hmm. about, you know, people not having anything to sell and some consolidation going on without a doubt in the industry. And you have a couple of great concepts of what it could look like, these independents could look like in the future as they become something different than who they currently are. And I don't want to steal your thunder, but it's a great concept. So, one that I've heard before, but I'd love you to drill down. So let's come back one day and have a conceptual interview, just nothing but what ifs and ideas and, you know, throw every post-it note up on the wall. Would you agree to do that?
Definitely.
Excellent. Hey, Jason, I can't tell you much. I do appreciate you being on the show. And thanks for sharing your stories, where you came from, where you're going, how you're getting there. One last request. Can you share with us words of wisdom that you kind of live by and guide yourself every day?
Yeah, definitely. So two things. One we touched on earlier. Get the Audible app. be a lifelong learner and definitely, you know, use your commute time for the most productive time of your day, which would be listening to audiobooks and podcasts. The second thing I'll leave you with is one thing that I have learned works very well dealing with people, whether that's customers or employees, is to always remind yourself that everyone is tuned into WIIFM. What's in it for me? And if you are able to realize that in every interaction you have with people, and you can truly put yourself in the other person's shoes and really understand what's important to them, then you can get your brain working and your creativity working, and you can say, okay, I want this outcome. They want that outcome. How can we marry the two together and put together a win-win situation? And it's just an amazing way to interact with people, and it avoids lots of problems. And it definitely makes the interactions with other people extremely well.
You're saying win-win, and if you ever have a win-lose, it's not good, right?
Exactly.
Well, hey, perpetual great words to live by. Thank you so much. And you're coming back, right?
Definitely.
Thanks, Jason.
Awesome. Thanks, Carl.
Hey, thanks, Jason Mallow. Great insights into his business along with solutions he sees as a way to improve our industry. See additional show notes on Jason at remarkableresults.biz/E159. You'll see Jason's picture and the show overview there for your reading pleasure. You can also listen there and or subscribe to smartphone listening services like iTunes and Google Play Music. Hey, thanks for helping spread the word on the Aftermarket's premier podcast that delivers powerful insights and stories for you. Entrepreneurs, technicians, distributors, students, educators are among the many industry professionals that listen each week. Check out my Facebook page and like it, and follow me on Twitter. I'm also on LinkedIn. So let's connect. Another great way to stay in touch is by subscribing to the Insider Newsletter. You can do that at remarkableresults.biz/insider. Thanks for your support and helping to pay it forward. Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from another inspiring aftermarket professional. Until next time.